Greetings and God bless you. We are the generals and the boss prophets, Dr. Apostles April
and Andrew, and we are here with your weekly word of supernatural empowerment.
We decree that by the power of God, that what you are about to hear will shift you into your new season. Let's listen in closely as the word is already in progress.
Everyone on the line, I don't know where you're all calling from. I have even last week got a report. We had someone from Denmark, a spiritual daughter from Denmark was on. So for everyone on the line, for if you're in Africa, if you're in the Netherlands, if you're in Canada, if you are in from coast to coast, the west to the east coast, somewhere in this nation, welcome. If you are definitely a first-time caller, may God bless you. And understand that on our website, we have dozens upon dozens, probably over 100 of archived calls, I mean free archived calls, and you can listen back to all of the calls if you're new, especially if you haven't been in the moment where we are now. Definitely, you have missed some great teachings, and we have placed that on our website for your enjoyment and for your empowerment. So we thank God for you all, and also I thank God for all of the leaders, KCI leaders and training, all of KCI partners and all KCI proteges, God bless you. And to the angel of the house, Apostle Andrew Mitchell Smith, we thank
you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes.
Praise God. We thank God and his anointing and his calling and his faithfulness unto the Lord, because it's all birthed out from the head. The anointing runs down. So we thank God for him and him allowing the women to go forth and him believing in the vision that God gave him and being courageous enough to step out and implement it here on this earth. So praise God. I've been talking enough to give you all time to get your papers, your pens. If you're somewhere where you can't take notes, then definitely that is something that we have covered, because we do record these calls, and this is not going to be a long one. I love to say that I love to preach it, so that when we hang up or when you exit out of our presence, you can go and live it. I preach it so you can live it, and that's what it is about. So, Heavenly Father, prepare the hearts and the minds to receive your word. In the name of Jesus, let this word be a seed on a heart of flesh and not a heart of thorns and not a heart of stone. And, Lord, even now, let us be hearers of your word and not just be hearers, but be doers also. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Praise God. So I'm going to go quickly, so take your notes. Take your notes. I'm going to talk about the law of the mind. Whenever we get attacked, whenever we have anything that we're going through, even warfare, it always triggers our mind first. And then it'll manifest somewhere else, maybe in the physical body, maybe in other people. But you always fight the war of your faith in your mind. Somebody repeat after me and say, the law of the mind.
The law of the mind.
Amen. I'm going to say that again. Somebody repeat after me, the law of the mind.
The law of the mind.
Amen. We're going to talk about the law of the mind. What I always love to say, and I learned this from my mentor, is that you have to be intentional in this life. You have to be intentional. And what do I mean by this? You have to intentionally schedule time for pleasure. You know why? Because pain will schedule itself. You have to intentionally organize your time in your day. You know why? Because chaos will automatically schedule itself. So it's the same under the law of the mind. With the law of the mind, you have to intentionally feed your mind, intentionally direct your thoughts. You know why? Because weeds will schedule itself. Weeds will schedule itself. Feed your mind, because weeds are a sure thing. Feed your mind, focus your mind, because weeds will schedule itself. You got to consider the mind like a garden. Like a garden where you plant the greenery, and it's a beautiful scenery, and also for if you're doing a vegetable garden, if you're doing something for recreational, it's a beautiful outcome. But you have to think about your mind being a garden. If you look at a patch of land, if you look at it the way it is, it might not be appetizing to you. But if you know a gardener, they can look at a patch of land and they can say, no, this is more than just a patch of land. I already know I'm going to plant my azaleas here. I'm going to plant my dahlias here, my irises here. I'm going to do dandelions. I'm going to do, a row of pink roses. They already know how to make a patch of land become something of such a beauty and such a splendor, but they have to toil the ground. They have to till the ground. They have to learn how to see what type of nutrients they're dealing with in the soil. And that's the same thing. When I look at a person, you may see, oh, that's just a regular person. They got issues. They're full of drama. But I look at a person and I don't see just where you're at. I see what you could be. I see what you have the potential to become. I see how your mind is just like a patch of ground, but to a gardener, it's a canvas. And with the right tilling, the right cultivating, the right planting, the right digging up and plucking up and planting, you can have something that is so magnificent that people will travel to and far just to come and look at what you've done. You have to see yourself that way. Everyone have access to information. Everyone has access to wisdom. But it's up to you to actually garden and cultivate your mind. You have to feed your mind because weeds will schedule itself. What are weeds? W-E-E-D-S. What are weeds? Weeds is a common definition. Weeds are considered to be valueless. If you don't feed your mind with nutrients, with prosperity, with all types of wisdom and strategy, which is valueful, you would definitely get weeds that will come and try and attack your mind that creates value less. It creates value less. It's a valueless plant that grows wild. There's no control. There's no control over a weed. You can't control the weeds will only grow on the left side or the right side. Weeds go wherever they want to go. They grow wild. And therefore, what happens is they grow specifically so that it really does create injury to the desired crop. So things that you're trying to plant in the ground, you're trying to plant roses, you're trying to build a healthy garden, but when weeds come, they come to destroy the very thing that you're planting to be a success, even in your mind. You have many goals, you have many objectives, you have many positive thoughts, but if you don't learn how to consistently guard and continue to feed your mind, those weeds will come and destroy the very thing that you're trying to build up for success of yourself. Are you following me on today?
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. So what happens is, it's anything that's undesirable. And matter of fact, weeds are considered and actually labeled to be troublesome plants. They're undesirable and troublesome plants, especially it's a plant or a valueless plant that grows profusely where it is not wanted. So you got to feed your mind because weeds will grow. And you can guarantee it. If you're not guarding your mind, if you're not feeding your mind, weeds will be a sure thing. So let's talk about the law of the mind. Every life battle is a mind battle. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Everybody under the sound of my voice, whether you got an insecurity issue, you don't think you're pretty enough, you think you're too skinny, you think you're too fat, you think you're too dark, think you're too light, your hair not too short, your hair too long, whatever it is you got going on, you're not educated, whatever it is, a career, your family, maybe not a good parent, whatever you may be battling with, it is all going to begin in your mind. I tell people all the time, if you win in your mind, you will win in life. If you
Amen.
Lose in your mind, you will lose in life. It doesn't matter. I got Jesus. Yeah, you can have Jesus and you can have salvation, but you can still lose in this life. You know why? Because salvation is just a commitment to say, I believe in Jesus and he has given you a redemption from your sins. But after you say, Lord, come into my heart, be the Lord and Savior of my life, you still got to live on this earth. And every decision that you make puts you on a path of poverty or the path of prosperity. And if you decide that, oh, I got Jesus, but you know, I never going to have any. I don't think I'm ever going to live out of this city. I don't think I'm ever going to have a car. My credit always going to be low. My mama's credit was low. My grandma's credit was low. So it makes no difference. Yes, that means you're losing in your mind. You can still have salvation, but you can lose in your mind. But God, that's why he says, I come that you might have that life and that much more abundantly. You already got life because you got salvation, but how many want an abundant life? See, that's a different territory there. Woo!
Amen.
can I break this down to you? I'm almost finished. I told you I'm not going to be long. This thing really needs to be a series, but I'm just going to give you a little taste of it because there's only so much you can absorb in one sitting before it becomes information overload. So if you win in your mind, matter of fact, I want you all to repeat after me. If I win in my mind, then I will win in life.
Amen there.
Amen, amen. So you got to understand that every thought that you think, everything from the smallest to the largest, to the most important, to even those that are less of a priority, it has to be that of a winning thought so that it can now connect to your life and you could begin to win in life. But if you begin to think that you're losing in your mind, it will manifest, and you will begin to lose in life. Whether you are a weightlifter in the Olympics or whether you are a karate expert, it is all in the mind. So when you can manage your mind, you can manage your life. A lot of people say, my life is so out of control and I don't know what's going on. You know what that person is telling me? I've dealt with hundreds and hundreds of people, and automatically it's all the same. When somebody comes to me and tells me that their life is out of control, I don't deal with the issues that they're saying are out of control. I go straight to your mind. And I say, you first have to become under submission and have your mind become to subject under the word of God. And when you start placing order and priority and protocol in your mind and your thoughts, then everything else in your life will become orderly as well. Think about it. When you have disorder in your life and everything's running just all over the place, all running amok, as they say, think about how your mind is really digesting all that information. Your mind is literally saying, oh, nothing's under control. Everything's out of control. Why even try today? Why even do this today? It's just going to go sour. And when you begin to start playing into those thoughts, your life begin to manifest same way in that disorderly conduct.
Uh-huh.
So when you can manage your mind, you can manage your life. Every battle is in the mind. You will win or lose in your mind. It's your decision. So what does the Bible say about that in Philippians 2 and 5? Philippians is a good one for your mind. It tells you a lot of things. It even gives you strategy. You say, Apostle April, but what should I be thinking? List by list, itemize what you should be thinking about. But even Philippians 2 and 5, it talks about let this mind be in you. He's already commanding. You should have not your mind, but his mind. Let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus. But a lot of you all don't even read your word enough or study your word enough to even know what type of mind Christ Jesus had. So how in the world are you going to have the mind of Christ? Well, you don't even know the mind of Christ yourself. So this is why we must read our word and study our word, because there is a promise for your mind. There's a renewing in your mind. This is why we must renew and purge the mind. Sometimes you just got to hit a reset button. Some of you all, it's already ready, your year on went haywire. You was all excited last year. People were prophesying to you. We would even decree and declare, but we were giving you strategy. It makes no sense for us to prophesy to you and don't give you strategy. We gave you strategy on the line about how to be successful, but you know what happened? The enemy said, oh, that's nothing. All I got to do is plant this little small seed in their mind, and everything else is like throwing a wrench into a big machinery plant. I will screw up everything. And then now people are contacting us and saying, I don't know what happened. I'm depressed, and I don't know if I can go on. I'm thinking about killing myself. And I say, where have your mind been? What have you allowed your mind to focus on? The law of the mind.
Amen.
What about the law of the mind? Three things you need to know. Three things you need to know about the mind. Number one, your mind needs focus. Your mind needs a focus. Too many people, when I talk to them and I get down to the nitty-gritty of why their mind is all just everywhere, it's because they have not learned the art of focusing on one thing, focusing on just a few important things. They're all everywhere and idle. My mom used to always say an idle mind is the devil's workshop. You're not doing anything. You're not focused. You're not being proactive. You're not looking for a job nor working. You're just sitting at home watching TV, letting the enemy, you know why? Because what happens is if you're not intentional on what you want to focus on, then the enemy steps in and says, I'll give you something to focus on. And usually whenever the enemy wants to give you something he wants you to focus on, it isn't up to any good. I just tell you the truth. It's either going to be something of the lust category. You're going to start doing freaky, kinky type things that you don't need to be thinking and doing, or it's going to be something of mischief or gossip, busybody, because you don't have any business, because you're not focused. Then what happens is the enemy wants to use you to get other people off focus. That's why I tell people, be wary of busybodies, because to me, busybodies are people who don't know their purpose. And because they don't know their purpose, they're frustrated, and they want to get you off your purpose by trying to bring something that itches your ear.
Amen.
I'm speaking sense, because I close right now. Are you all receiving it?
Come on.
Amen.
Are you all receiving it?
Amen.
Because I would literally close down. I don't cast my pearls before swine. I'm trying to help your mind. So I need you to understand. I need you to help me understand that you're getting this. Because this is something that apparently a lot of us need to understand, because it's going to come a time. Every time the Lord brings me something that I'm preaching on, soon after you will get tested on it. Soon after. So thinking that strange that something may come along after we hang with the call, as soon as today, tomorrow, later on this week or next week, and then you're going to be saying, man, my mind is such under attack. I feel depressed. I'm so sad. I want to give up. I want to give in. Half of y'all, if not all of you all, have been in that type of situation. Something didn't go your way. You've been going through warfare, and you almost want to give up. You're ranting and raving on Facebook, pray for me, saints. I don't know why. I'm just going to get off Facebook. Half of you all, if not all of you all, have been through this type of thing where you want to give in. You know why you've had to get to that point? Because your mind wasn't focused enough. There was something doing that allowed those emotions to manifest in such a way that you had to cry out, that you had to whine about it. I don't profess that I'm necessarily strong just to say I'm strong. I'm doing this because God made me this way.
Amen.
He sent so much warfare my way, and he said, you got more strength in you than you know. And the Lord taught me how to tap into it by way of focusing my mind. So you got to focus on something in your future. That's the purpose. When you're going through something in your mind, you cannot think about it in the current situation. You're going to continue to get on that crazy cycle of, oh, depression and, oh, all types of, regret and all types of just sadness and sorrow, because you'll keep thinking of yourself in that same situation, how you don't have any money, how you about to be put out, or how you're about to do this, and how your children are acting up, how you're not married, or how if you're married now your marriage is in shambles, and how you're overweight. If you think about it now, you'll constantly be reminded of how you're not where you want to be. So now you have to focus your mind on the future. Your mind has two parts, your memory and your imagination. Repeat after me. My mind.
My mind.
My mind.
My mind.
Has two parts.
Has two parts.
Has two parts.
My mind.
My mind.
My mind.
Parts.
Has two parts.
Two parts. My memory.
My memory.
And my imagination.
And my imagination.
And my imagination.
Wow.
So let me break that down to you very quickly. Number one. Your mind has two parts, your memory and your imagination. The purpose of your memory is to replay the past. That's all it does. It replays the past. It's so simple. But the purpose of your imagination, that's why I it grieves me when I talk to adults who have lost their imagination. As a child, we could be Peter Pan, we could play princess and cooking and chef, and we can play all these type of things, and it is encouraged to feed into our imagination, watching these children's shows and Sesame Street and just all of you to play pretend and pretend house. But when we become adults, we seem to lose that. We seem to lose that aspect of our life. But a lot of people don't understand that that was put in us by our Creator. Is he not? Are we not made in the image and likeness of our Creator? And did he not create this earth that we live on? In order to create, you got to first envision it. Envisioning is just basically imagination, thinking on things that have not yet manifested. So when we lose that imagination because of the hardships of this life and the browbeating of, betrayal, and we tend to become very serious as adults, and we should to a certain point because we are mature. But your imagination is the supernatural instinct within you placed by God. Now, you can have a wicked imagination, but I'm talking about a holy imagination. And your imagination is the birthing place for your focus of your mind. Your imagination, see, your memory replays your past. Your imagination pre-plays your future. Somebody didn't catch that.
Amen.
Your imagination pre-P-R-E plays your future. Some of us, this is why we say, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things have not seen. You got to see yourself already there in a new car, already there in a new house, already there having a joyous relationship with your children. You have to envision you all going to the mall, going to the movies. You have to envision your husband and you going out to dinners. You have to pre-play your future. You have to pre-play going to the ATM and checking on your balance. And instead of it being negative 10, it's 10,000. You have to pre-play your future with your imagination.
Amen.
Why? Because God gives you pictures of tomorrow. Yes, he does. Somebody write that down. I'm about to close out because I don't think they're getting it, Apostle Andrew. This is too much.
Come on,
life to me. This is life. And then the same people that we preach to on this line or outside of this line will come to us in about a year's time and say, I don't get it. I don't get why I'm still stuck. Different, because we've been giving you knowledge for you to implement and execute in your life. But if you're not receiving it, if you don't choose to believe that what I'm teaching is a distinct difference in what you've heard all your life, then you will not receive it. It just won't happen for you. You have to believe in your heart that what the woman of God, the prophet of God, is speaking to you today is a life-changing. Yes, it requires you to put some work, and it requires you to roll your sleeve up. It requires you to get out of that stunk and that whole bin of just depression, and you got to force your way to do these things, but the reward would be great. The reward would be you're coming out of community. The reward would be you coming into your breakthrough. The reward would be that everything that you're in lack of places you on a path of prosperity, and you can begin to start receiving it. If you're waiting for it to just the mindset of the people, unfortunately, we're so lazy. This is the mindset of the people. We want to stay in our funk. We want to stay depressed. We don't want to put any effort in. So what we're saying to God is, until you drop it in my lap and give me my money, until you miraculously, I don't even want to praise you for it. I just want you to make me feel better. Then and only then will I go forward in doing all of these other strategies that the prophets are telling me. We want to receive the benefit first. And then make it contingent that if we receive it, then we'll be a better Christian. We'll be better at our faith. We'll be better at being happy and joyful and spreading the gospel. How lazy are we? We don't want to pray. We don't want to even praise God. Somebody got to even say, come on, y'all. Y'all got to praise God. Your praise is your breakthrough. We don't want to fast. We don't want to do anything that would us to fulfill our end of the contract so that God could fulfill his end of the contract. We just want an angel to come down from on Zion and place it in our lap, and then magically we'll be better, Lord.
My God.
But when somebody's telling you that the key to your manifestation of your breakthrough is that you do got to put in some work, you still got to burn some elbow grease, then all of a sudden we kind of daze out. Ooh, kind of like that pulse machine. Do, 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 do. You flatline. Oh, I'm not hearing this because I need an easier way. I'm looking for a quicker fix, Apostle.
My.
And that determines, and then again, that's your decision, because I can't force you to do anything. But every decision you make either keeps you on a path of poverty or places you on a path of prosperity. Your decision.
Amen.
You can't hate me because my bank got several figures. You can't hate me because I got a new car. You can't hate me because I got a new condo. And then you want to tell me that I'm proselyting and that I'm robbing God's people. You can't tell me that I'm a wolf in sheep clothing because I'm living a prosperous life. No, because where were you when I was preaching what I've already lived? I'm telling you what we do. I'm telling you the strategies it takes to get to prosperity. This didn't happen overnight. We've been doing this conference over 220 weeks. Over 220 weeks. Where were you for the past 220 weeks?
Come on.
Where were you? Where were you for the last 220 weeks? Where were you for the last 20 years of my life when I was implementing this strategy? And because I'm able to work a full-time job, see, I'm trying to teach you strategy that'll take you off that job that you hate. I'm called to the nations, Apostle. It's kind of hard to be called to the nations when you got to be obligated to punch a 9-to-5, because you will not be able to go to the nations if you don't have food and if you don't have a place to live. So you got to be, you're called to the nations, but you got to be strapped to that job 9-to-5.
Come on now.
Your shoulder telling you when and what to do and how long to stay there. I've been there. I've been on a job where you had 5 minutes to go to the bathroom. They timed you. And if you were over 5 minutes, they came in looking for you. I've been there.
Hello.
What type of slavery is that? But God said, if you stay faithful, I'm going to make sure that you'll work for me and you never want for nothing. I'll be just like I promised in Philippians, the 4th chapter, how you said, I will supply all your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And his glory and his glory.
We know this word has supernaturally empowered you for this week. Now is the time to place your angels on an assignment. Yes, your angels. It is time to take authority and now decree what you want to manifest for you and your family on this week. Plant your seed in supernatural fertile ground today.
And you activate this word and make it supernaturally manifest by sowing your money seeds. The more you sow, the more miracles will begin to flow into your hands. Your palms will be filled up with overflow by visiting our website at www.kci.world.
That's www.kci.world, not .org, not .com, for we are worldwide, where there is always something supernaturally happening. Again, that's www.kci.world. We are speaking life over you and your family, and we are excited about your now, your next, and your new season in Jesus' name. This has been your weekly word of supernatural empowerment from the Generals.